Okay, it's whatever. Okay, so welcome back for the second half of the tutorial. In the first half, Barry, can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Barry have given an overview about over subscription in scheduling, and for the next 75 minutes then I will talk about over subscription in planning. And then we move switch back to Barry for the 20 minutes, and then I will do it again. The outline of the planning part, I will give a couple of slides on the background of planning, and then we can go for two main ways to model a preference in planning, qualitative and quantitative preference. And for each of them, we will talk about the type of preference and self-constraint, whether or not we model self-constraint over the goal, or the action in the plan, or the other properties of the plan trajectory. And for each type of preference, then the different solving approaches that have been developed for different type of preference. So here's a leading example that I will use throughout most of the slides here. So we have the rover, Mars rover, that look like a crab over there. Then it will move between different locations, alpha, beta, or gamma. And the action that the rover can do, like moving between different locations, it can sample soils, it can sample rock at different locations, or taking pictures. So in strip planning, then basically the planner is given a domain in which consists of a set of binary literal representing the world state. For example, in the initial state, then the rover is at alpha, and it may already have image at gamma. And the actions are represented by the preconditions and the effect of the action. For example, if you want to move between location alpha and beta, then the rover needs to be at alpha at the beginning of the action. And if you execute the action, then the effect is that the rover will be at location beta. And alpha becomes false, so it's a one part of the delete effect of the action. And the initial state is fully specified. For example, in this case, the rover is initially at alpha, and the soil at alpha is available to sample, and the rock at beta and the picture at gamma are also available for taking. And the goal state is partially specified. For example, you want to have soil, and you want to have rock, and you want to have image at the end of the plan. So here's one of the plans. It's basically a sequence of actions and the starting time. For example, at T1, you sample the soil at alpha, and then you move to beta at T2, and you, at the end of the action, move alpha beta. You are at beta right now, and then you can sample rock at beta, and then you can move to another action gamma and then take a picture over there. So if you execute this plan, starting from the initial state of the rover at alpha, and you don't have any of those predicates, then at the end of the plan, then you achieve those three goals. You have the soil sample at alpha, you have rock sample at beta, and you have image at gamma. So basically, the plan is a set of actions with associated fixed starting time. So that's normal strip planning in which everything is half constrained. But in over subscription planning, then a lot of time that you don't have enough battery power or time to collect all those three goals that you have here. So in that case, you have to find the best plan within the resources limit, in this case the time and the battery power. And the first question coming by is, how do you define the best plan? And normally there are two ways to define it. One called qualitative preference. So when you compare two plans, then you compare them based on the logical preference between the goals that are achieved by each plan or the property of the action in the plan. So normally it's simple and easier to get and elicit, but the disadvantage is that normally it's less expressive, and it can be inadequate for a lot of domains. Some property like you can have many incomparable plans, and there's no notion of how much better one plan is to another. So if you say one plan is preferred to the other, but you have no notion of how much better one is to another. And on the other hand, you also have quantitative preference. In this case, you compare plans based on the real cost or utility value associated with the action in the plan, or the goal achieved by the plans, or some other property that I can show example later. And normally this one is more expressive and less number of comparable incomparable plans. Normally if you have two plans, you compare the real value of them, so normally one is always better than the other. But the disadvantage is hard to get exact or approximate or utility value in many domains. For example, for normal users, you can say one car is, you like one car more than the other, but if you ask question, how much better do you like one car than the other, then it's hard to answer. So for the quality preference, then the best plan is a plan that is not preferred or dominated by any other plans. And normally many of them are not dominated by any other plans. And in quantitative preference, then the best plan is the plan that gives you the highest total value. And normally only one or few of them satisfy that property. Okay. So now we are done with the background. So the next part of the tutorial, I will talk about the qualitative preference. Basically, I will go into two models. One is goal preference using CPNet, and trajectory preference in the language called PP. First, Brassman and Chenisky have been using TCPNet to represent the goal preference. So in this case, you can think about A, B, C, D, E as different goals in our leading example. For example, A can be have soy at alpha, B can be have rock at beta, and C can be have a picture at gamma. So in the TCPNet, the link between different nodes specifies the conditional dependency between different goals. So for example, the value of B depending on the value of its parent, in which case is A. So if A is achieved, then you prefer to achieve B than not achieve B. And if A is not achieved, then you prefer not achieve B than achieve B. So the direct link specifies the conditional dependency, conditional preference between different variable, in this case different goal. And then you have the direct link with the dot here, which basically specifies the preference order between different variables. So in this case, this link say that you prefer to achieve B than prefer to achieve E. And then you also have the link that that the preference between C and D depending on the value that you assign to B and E. So if B and E are both true, then you prefer C than D. And if B is false and E is true, then you actually reverse the order. You actually prefer D over C. And I think that in the afternoon, then that's another tutorial by Roland Bradman and Carmel Donslock, in which they will talk much more about this preference model. So again, the node, in this case, when applied for planning, then the node can be thought of as a goal. And the edge are relative importance of the goal and the preference dependency between the goals. So if you have to compare two assignments, then you can look at the TCPNet and see which one is more preferred than the other. So let's take an example of plan P1 and P2, and one achieve the goal DE and another achieve the goal CDE. Then because A and B are not achieved, so you look at the value of C and not C, and you look at the table, then when B is not achieved, not achieving C is actually better than achieving C. So in this case, P1 is actually better than P2, even though that P1 achieved less number of goals than P2. So basically, the TCPNet and the present table provide you a way to compare different goal achievement sets. in the plan. And the objective is find the plan that not be dominated by any other plan. Basically, the plan that achieves the set of goals that not dominated by the set of goals achieved by any other plan in this domain. So how do you use the TCP net and the way they represent the goal preference to search for optimal plan? So they implement a CSP planner, but this can be done by any other planner like forward search or set encoding or any other way to solve them. So what you do is first you look at, let's go back. So A, look at the node that has no parent, no conditional dependency coming in. And you select that one, and then you select the preferred, most preferred value for A. So in this case, that's no table, but you prefer achieve A than not achieve A. And then you remove the link from A to any other nodes. So in this case, B becomes the next node that has no parent, right? And then because you decide to achieve A, then if you look at the dependency table of A and B, then you see that now B is more preferred, that is preferred over not achieve B. You could go down and then you remove all the link from B to other node. So you prefer to achieve both A and B and going down A, B, E, A, B, E, C, and A, B, E, C, D. So now you have the most preferred goal set, but you don't have the plan yet, right? So you can use any planner. In this case, they use CSP planner to find the plan that try to achieve this most preferred set of goals. So if you cannot achieve that, then you backtrack and go to the second most preferred set of goals and use the planner and try to achieve that goal. And so on. So assume that you cannot achieve any set of goals in this left-hand side branch of the main tree, then you go to not A, and this is great because not A, if not A is not achieved, then not B is more preferred than B, and so on. So after set the goal, you try to use any planner, in this case the CSP planner, to find the plan to achieve that. If you successfully find the plan, then that is the optimal, most preferred plan. If not, you move to the next preferred set of goals, and you use and try to achieve the plan again. So far, the TCP net have been used to compare partial plan, but it only is to specify the preference between goal. But the other extension that you can actually use is you can use to represent preference over action or other property of the plan trajectory. It has not been used, but you can do that too. And you can also take branching in different type of planner like POP or SET or state space. So it only have been used for CSP based planner, but basically you can use the same approach true for other type of planner. So TCP net have been used to represent the goal preference, and another planning language, PP, which I think stands for preference in planning, has been used to represent trajectory preference. So it used to represent preference over states visited by the plan trajectory. It can be used to represent the preference over action occurrence in the plan. And or it can be used to represent the preference over other property of the plan trajectory. So it is a subset of temporal logic for trajectory preference. For example, like next and always, like if the next state of the plan, you want to satisfy some certain property. During the plan execution, you always want to satisfy some certain property, and so on. And the component of this language are basic preference, basic design. I will go into detail in the next couple of slides. Basic slide and atomic preference and general preference. So what is a basic design? You use the connection logic, connection and or not, and a four temporal model. Next, always, until, eventually, over the fluent formula. So in this case, the goal formula. And one special predicate occurrence A, meaning that you prefer to have an action A occur in the plan, and you allow nesting. So the first example is starting from the initial state, you want the next state to be at better. So that's how you do it in the PP language. In the next example, which is a little more complicated, eventually, so here's one action, collect soil at gamma, and you want the occurrence of that action in the plant, eventually. Means that somewhere in the plant, you want the that action to be included. And 5-3, you can use any combination of them. You want to be in the goal conditions, you want to have soil and have rock, or having image. So that can be specified in the preference language PP2. And then when you compare to a plant trajectory using one of the basic design, you can say that, so alpha and beta are two plant trajectory. You say that alpha is preferred over beta given phi if alpha implies phi and beta not implies phi. And then you can say that they are equal, meaning that they are incomparable if not alpha is preferred over beta and not beta preferred over alpha. So the next component is atomic preference. So you already have phi one, phi two, and phi three at basic design. And then you can specify the preference between the basic design. So you can say that phi one is more preferred over phi two and more preferred over phi three. So if you want to compare two trajectory again, alpha and beta, regarding atomic preference, then you can say that you first see if alpha satisfies phi 1 and beta satisfies phi 1 or not. So if alpha satisfies phi 1 and beta does not satisfy phi 1, then you can say that alpha is more preferred over beta. And so on. If they are equal, then you go along the preference order and you compare phi 2 and phi 3. So as soon as you find one, that one is satisfied and the other that is satisfied, then you say one is better than the other. And the most complicated component is general preference. So you already have the basic design and you can have the preference order between them, which are basically atomic preference. Then you can combine them and having the order between them, and the final component side here are general preference. And then you can compare them similar to the way you compare the basic design and preference order and atomic preference. So Chan and Pontali have been using the PP planning preference language to specify the preference between plan, and they have used answer set programming based the planner based on the S model to solve the problem. Basically, they compile the planning constraint into the set of S model rules, and then you they use the maximize contract built into the S model with the admissible working function and to compute the most preferred plan. So the admissible weighting function is the function that has this property. So if alpha is preferred over beta, then the weighting that you are given to alpha should be higher than the weight given to beta. And if alpha is not comparable to beta, then the weight given to alpha given psi are equal to the weight given to beta given size. And if you can find that admissible weighting functions, then S model encoding will guarantee that you can find an optimal solution. So I will skip over, you can read in the paper, but basically this is the weighting function that they have used and guarantee that it's admissible. So if alpha imply phi, then weight is 1, if not, weight is 0. And if you have an atomic preference like that, then the weight is a summation of 2 power, the basically how important it is in the train of preference order, and the weight given to a single of them. And similarly for their general preference. And The present language has been expanded by Bienville about 2006 with quantification, variable and conditional construct and aggregation. So basically changed from propositional logic to first order logic. And they have used a similar admissible weighting function to guide the best first search algorithms. So instead of compiling into S model, then they can use the forward state space planner, which is basically very popular in classical planning to find an optimal solution. So the G values in the forward search planner is how well the general preference have been satisfied with the current partial plan. So if you already add five actions to the plan and use the G value is how many general preference have been satisfied by that partial plan. And the H value is assume that everything go optimally and you satisfy every remaining preference, then what did you get for the remaining plan? And they also use some pessimistic estimation, like everything that you haven't not achieved will not be able to achieve, to set a pessimistic bound to cut off some bad branch in the search tree. And besides set and forward, besides CSP and forward state space basis planner, I think this year Danchilica has also proposed an approach of using set compilations to solve the preference, the qualitative preference problem. So in some way it's very similar to the CSP encoding, in which you can control the branching decision in set formulation of the planning problem. So you for each preference, then you have one set formula. It can, because it's any set formula, it can be the combination of trajectories or preference over goal. And then you can have a preference ordering between, like one is more preferred than the other. And you can dictate which set variable should you assign first and what value should you assign first to the set solver, and then you can find an optimal plan. So we are done with the qualitative preference model of in planning, and the next part of my talk will be on quantitative preference. And in this case, I will talk about the oversubscription planning, in which you have the real value associated with the action cost and goal utility. And we also talk about the trajectory preference, in which you have a utility associated with some property of the plan trajectory. And also a little bit about PDL-3, which is the official language used in the last planning competitions in 2006, in which you have the cost on trajectory constraint violations, and you want to minimize the total violation cost. So again, if you compare qualitative and quantitative preference, then qualitative is more appropriate when it's hard or undesirable for the lay user to specify some quantitative values of goals. So you say prefer red over green, but normally the lay user cannot say how much value in terms of money, like red is more preferred over a green one. But for example, the car maker and the market researchers, they do know about those things and they do care about those things, because they have to make the decision of how many red or green car have to make and how and at what price that you have to sell them. So in those kind of applications, then it's more appropriate to have the quantitative preference, in which the exact or approximate benefit of each decision should be quantified. So the first model is oversubscription planning, and the other word that we have been using in planning literature is partial satisfaction planning. So coming back to our leading example of the rover moving around between different locations and collecting different scientific experiments, then all the goals that you have seen so far, like have soil at different locations, have rock at different locations, will assign a real utility value to them. So in this case, you can say that having soil will give you an utility of 20, maybe millions of dollars or thousands of dollars. And have block, we have utility of 50, and utility of having image is 30. And then all the action in the plan will have some certain costs, which are also the real value associated with them. Like moving between two locations will cost you 10, also in terms of dollar. And if you want to sample rock at beta, then it will cost you 20. And the objective function in this case is trying to maximize the trade-off between the utility that you get from all the goals that you, you know, achieve at the end of the plan and all the cost, the total cost of all the action in the plan. So when you look at the problem and you see goal utility reward, a reward associated with goal and then a cost associated with actions, and you try to optimize the utility and cost trade-off, then the obvious idea that first come in mind is you can model this thing as a Markov decision process. Because that model basically deal with reward if you visit some certain states, and when you go from one state to another, then there's some cost between them. The difference here is that you don't have probability, but it's okay because you can model it as a deterministic Markov decision process. And the other thing is you want to prevent the planner from recursively collecting goal, like it go to B and then it get a sample and then it go to another location and then it come back to the same location and try to collect the same reward again. And you can do that by define an appropriate sync state. If you go into some certain state, then you cannot go out that again. But the problem is you can find all the global optimal solutions by model the problem as Markov decision process, but we actually implement this thing and it doesn't scale up very well. And it's kind of in line with the result of MVP so far. And the other way that you can model is using integer linear programming. So here's the basic integer linear programming encoding for the planning problem. So you have the binary 0 or 1 variable for each action or fact in the plan. So if you select an action to be included in the plan, then you have to assign all the true value, in this case 1, to every precondition of the action, and 1, which is true, to every effect of the action. And then whenever you want to achieve some fact or certain goal, then you make sure that at least one action that can give it will be true. And the objective function is trying to minimize the total number of actions, or in this case, the minimize the summations of all the variable action variable that have a value 1. And if you extend that encoding to over subscription planning, then it's quite a straightforward. So instead of having basically the same value for every goal, you have one utility for each goal. And for each action, instead of trying to maximize like only the summation of that, you try to maximize, you try to minimize the summation of the occurrence of the action and the cost associated with each action. So basically, you only need to change the way you set up the objective function, and you can extend from the normal encoding for classical planning into the encoding for the oversubscription planning problem. In this case, that's one simple change. And the property is that you get a bounded horizon optimal plan. So if you bound horizon, if you want an optimal plan that has like 10 actions in the plan, or in parallel length is 10, then you will get that by set up the horizon to the encoding to 10. But the performance scale up better than MVP, but it has not been that good compared to other popular approach like heuristic search in classical planning. So obviously, model the oversubscription planning problem as a Markov decision process or mixed integer linear programming can be very easy, but in practice, it doesn't scale very well. So on the other hand, heuristic search planner has been dominating on the planning competitions from 98, 2000, 2002, and until last year. And it's natural to try to adapt the heuristic search approach to our subsequent planning. And the easiest way that you can do is first you try to estimate the best goal set. So you have the big goal set, all of them are self-constrained, and you try to estimate the subset of them that you think will give the optimal trade-off between utility and cost. And then you can use any normal, not over-subscription planner to try to find the lowest cost plan that achieves the set of goals that you pre-select. So you go through three steps. First, you heuristically select the soft goal set. And then you set all of them at hard goal, and now it becomes the classical planning problem. And then the last step is you try to use any planner that can minimize the total cost of the plan and if, to achieve that set of goal. And so in the next few slides, then we'll talk about a couple of approaches to how to heuristically select the goal set that you think will give you the optimal trade-off between the utility and cost. Because basically that's the most critical step in this framework. So I know that this slide is a little intimidating for people who are not familiar with planning, so I will try to go slowly on this. So basically what I'm showing here is the structure called planning graph. So for people familiar with planning, then this one has been around for more than 10 years and has been very useful as the source of heuristic estimations and other proposed. So what you do is, here's the initial step. You put everything that are true. So you have a variable soil, a variable rock, and the rover is at location alpha. And then you try to put all the actions that can be applied in that step. So in this case, you can sample soil at that location. You can drive from alpha to beta, of from alpha to gamma. And then in the next step, you put in all the things that can be achieved after you apply all the actions. So in this case, in addition to the thing you have in the first level of the graph, I mean, if you don't do anything, then you will achieve those things anyway. And then you have additional things that, like, you can have soil now, which is basically on the goal that we want to achieve. Or you can be at the new location, beta, or at the new location, gamma. And then you keep doing that until you see all the goal or until you see no change in the graph. And while doing so, you also do kind of cost propagation. What you do is, for each action, like I mentioned in the previous slide, then you have the cost associated with them. For example, if you sample soil, then it costs you $20 or $20,000. So using the cost of the action, you can estimate the cost to achieve some certain things. For example, if you want to have soil, then you go back and you have to do this action. So it will cost you at least $20 to achieve this one. And the same thing, it costs you at least 10 to be at the new location beta, and at least 30 to be at the new location gamma. And you do, so at the end, when you see all the goals, then you kind of seeing some approximations of how costly. So in this case, have soil will cost about 20, have image will cost about 35, because to achieve that, you have to do this action, and then go here, and this one is free. So about 35, and then have rock about another 35. So those things, I mean, when you build the planning graph and do the cost propagation, at the end of that, it gives you some approximation of how costly each goal to achieve. But it doesn't give you the actual plan that achieved them. That's some approximation. And then, based on the utility that are given to you by problem specifications, and the approximate cost to achieve them, you can kind of like estimate the trade-off between the utility and cost of achieving some certain goals. So in this case, the approximation, the estimate is that you will get a net benefit of about 30 if you achieve this single goal, and about minus 5 if you achieve this single goal, and about 15 if you achieve that single goal of having dogs. So based on that approximation, they, you can start building the subset of select, like the subset of goal that will likely to get you the highest benefit. So you can do it greedy. That's what happened in the planner called Alta, which So you can first select this one, which looks like give you the highest amount of trade-off, and then you can start from there and then try to include another one and another one until you don't get any positive net benefit anymore. So here's the step, main step, you will select the first goal that maximize the utility and cost trade-off. In this case, it's the first one, having soil at the location alpha. And then you try to extract the relaxed plan that achieve that one. So the relaxed plan will be extracted by going back from the goal. You see have soil, and then this is the action in the relaxed plan. And then you try to greedily expand G. In this case, expand this one by trying to include the other one in the goal set and see if you can get additional utility. So if you include, for example, in the next best one is having rock. So if you want to see if having both soil and rock will give you better utility than just achieving soil, then now because you already have the relaxed plan of sample soil here, you add another goal. So that one, the relaxed plan is sample rock, and then going back, and then you have the, you need to be at the location beta to sample rock at beta. So you add another action, drive alpha beta. So basically you end up with the sequence of action, sample soil alpha, drive alpha to beta, and then sample rock again at beta. Again, you have the utility given to you at the beginning of the problem, 50, 60, and 20, and then you have the cost estimated by the cost propagations. And then you look at them and see that this one is the best one, the best trade-off, 25, better than 20 and 50 for other goal. You select that one, and you actually extract the relaxed plan, and in this case, it's the same cost of 25, and gives you the benefit of 25 again. And then you try to add the other goal, in this case, have rock to have soil, and another goal, have image to have soil, and see which one it gives the better trade-off. So in this case, this one gives you a better trade-off than 25. So you think that achieving both soil and rock will be better than achieve soil alone. 45 is better than 25. But this one is not as good because you will get the net benefit of 10 instead of 25. After you do this analysis, you can go down one more level, but you can get the net benefit of 30, which is not as good as 45. So after doing this, you will stop by and say that achieving soil and achieving rock together is the best subset of goal for this particular problem. And then after you select those goals, then you can convert them into the hard constraint and use any planner that try to minimize the total cost of the plan to achieve those two goals. The problem with the approach, one of the problems that we can have with the Alta PS approach is that if the priority of the goal set is not achievable because of some negative interaction between them. So let me try to go forward one more slide to talk about what kind of negative interaction. For example, the two actions you cannot execute at the same time, so there are some negative interaction between them. Like you cannot sample soil at one location and at the same time moving the rover to another location. Or you cannot drive from one location to two different locations like beta and gamma. So those kind of things are called mutual exclusion in planning. And the same thing, the mutual exclusion between the action can cause a mutual exclusion between facts. For example, you cannot have soil and cannot be at alpha and cannot be at beta at the same time. Because to do the, to achieve those things together, then you basically have to execute those two actions together. But those actions are mutual exclusion, mean you can only execute one of them at a time. Similarly, if you propagate the negative interaction, then you can see that at the next level, then you cannot have soil and have rock at the same time after two steps, because then doing them will include involve some action that have a mutual exclusion relation. So that's the problem with the alpha PS approach that we present in the last slide. Like if the goal set cannot be achieved by some certain negative interaction that I just briefly showed you, and what if the greedy algorithm gets bad local optimum? So you select some goal set heuristically, but if that goal set turns out to be very bad, because in the real world applications, the goal that you will achieve may be very far from the initial state. Like maybe you have to execute a few hundred actions to actually achieve the goal, and if you are that far from the goal and you try to estimate them at the beginning, then you can select some goal set which turn out later to be very bad. And the solution is to compact goal set instead of building the goal set greedily, starting from the most beneficial one and then try to include like one goal at a time. And so you can first select a pair of goals and then try to add the penalty if the relaxed plan achieving them contains some mutual exclusion relation like that. So if any relaxed plan has less mutual exclusion relation, it means that it is closer to the real plan, so you don't penalize the plan. But if the plan has a lot of mutual exclusion relation, it means that it's far from the real plan that can actually be executed, then you can penalize the set of goals that has that relaxed plan more. And then after you penalize the plan, you assess the total benefit that you can achieve for a certain set of goals, and then you select the best of them after taking into account all the penalties. David Smith in 2004 proposed another approach, actually taking into more account negative and positive interactions between different actions and fact in the planning problem. So basically he tried to model the problem as the orientation problem, which is a variation of the traveling salesman problem. So the orientation problem, you have the set of linked city. So in this case, alpha, beta, and gamma can be thinking of as a different city in the orientation problem. And you have the price to visit each city. So if you visit alpha, you will get some certain price. If you visit beta, you can get some certain price, and gamma, so on. So in this case, the price is the reward that you will achieve, will get if you achieve some certain goal. And this model is very suitable for the type of transportation planning domain in which you actually travel between locations and collect goal after you visit some certain cities. But in planning problem, it's a little more complicated because at each location, you normally have to do some certain things to achieve the goal. So in the leading example, then it's very simple. You at location, you can sample the soil, and then you get the reward right away. But in the actual planning domain that you use in the planning competition, then to achieve some certain things like soil or rock or a picture, then you have to do some certain setup of the instrument, moving instrument, calibrate them, and then and then do the actual collection. So in the more complicated setting, then you first have to do the cost propagation similar to the way that Alta PS have been doing to estimate the cost to do some experiment at different locations. So for example, if you want to achieve something like having soil, then the set of actions like setting up, calibrate, and things like that will cost you 20. And then you use the path planning to build the orientation graph. And then after you solve this graph, then using any textbook approach to solve the orientation problem, then you will get the most beneficial set of goals. Basically, in this case, the most beneficial set of cities that you need to go to and the set of rewards that you will collect. And the order between them, for example, in this case, you have to collect soil first, before you go and collect the rock. In the more general sense, then basically here are the steps that David Smith have been used to solve more general planning problem, in which it doesn't fall into the transportation class of planning problem, in which like if you have Bloxville, for example, it's very different from logistics, in which you don't have the traveling action between different locations. And what he does is he first tries to select the set of critical litter, and then which is based on relaxed plan analysis, similar to the one that I mentioned when I showed the planning graph. And then you try to build the state transition graph based on the set of litter that you select in the first step. And basically, yeah, and then you try to solve this OP problem at each node and to figure out the set of beneficial goals and then the order in which you want to achieve the goal. So if you use this approach, you can generalize the Orient-Turing problem approach to the planning domains that are not fall into the transportation domain, like satellite or block swarm or any other domains. So in summary, you start with Alpha-RPS, which only use relaxed plan and greedy approach to build the goal set. And you can improve that with more mutual exclusion by penalizing the relaxed plan, which has more mutual exclusion relation within the plan. And then you can improve even more with interaction through the orienteering graph. And if you do all that, then you will get better and better estimate of the beneficial goal set that you will select, and then you can convert them to hard constraint and use any classical planner to solve the problem. So the approach that we have discussed so far, you select the, all the goals are soft constraints, you try to estimate a subset of them, make them the hard constraint, and then you use classical planner to solve the simplified problem. But what is the set of goals that you select pre-selected are bad? Then if you look at the way best first search algorithm have been solving problem, is that you can recover from bad initial estimations. So if you go down one bad branch, and if you go deeper, you get better heuristic, and you realize that it's bad, that you can recover and jump to another search tree, a search branch. And we can take advantage of the fact that goal satisfying condition is very loosely defined in the over-subscription planning. So because most of the goals are self-constrained, then if you achieve one of them, or even zero of them, it still can be a goal. For instance, you can stop right there and say that's a valid plan. So you can take advantage of that to have an anytime algorithm that if, as you go along, if you collect more goals and you find better plans, you can keep outputting better and better quality plans. So SAP-RPS planner has been using the anytime best first search algorithm to find better and better solutions. So in this case, it is a variation of A-star algorithms, with the edge cost is if you want move from one state to another, then the edge cost is utility that of the total utility that you will get in the new state, minus the utility than the state that you had before that, and minus the cost of the action that lead you from one state to another. And the G value is net benefit of the plan that you found so far. So if you have two actions, then what's the benefit of those two actions? And the H value of the search framework is the estimate of the benefit to go to achieve the best goal set. So anytime it returns plans with increasing better quality solutions, and if we reach a node in which you don't see any more benefit of going further, then we can stop the search right there. And here's one example. So you start by being at alpha and assume that the heuristics say that you can achieve at most 45. And because at this time the G value is a trade-off between the utility that you achieve so far, which is basically nothing, and the cost that you incur so far is basically nothing also, because you haven't used any action. So the G value is zero and the H value is 45. And then you try to apply the action that you can do when you are at alpha. Basically, you can do three things. You can move to beta, you can sample soil right there, or you can move to gamma. So if you move to beta, because you execute that action with cost 25 and you didn't achieve any goal yet, the G value for you is minus 25. And the H value may be 50. That's the maximum that you can achieve from there. So the F value for this one is G plus S, which is minus 25. And in this case, the G value is 25 because the utility of having this goal is 50, and the cost of doing this action is 25. So the trade-off is 25, so you get 25 right there. And the H additional utility that you may get, assume that the heuristic function returns 20. So the F value for this case is 45, which is better than this one, which is 25. And so also better for that one. And also because the G value that you get here is higher than the G value when you start, which is 0, you also output this plan as the first best plan that you found so far. So the planner will output the plan sample soil. That's the first best plan. It's better than doing nothing in this case. And then after you select that node, you can apply the action that you can do it there, like move from alpha to beta, or move from alpha to gamma. And in this case, you calculate the G and H value again. And in this case, both of the G value are smaller than the best solution that you found so far, which is 25. That's why you don't output any of those plans, because those are worse than the plan of just sample the soil, sample the soil and move to different places. And then you compare the F value between the two, and moving to beta looks like better, because the G and plus H value is 45 and that one is 15. So even though the G value here is better than the Z value here, but the F value is better, so you will pick this node and expand next. So at beta, you can either move to another places, or you can sample the rock. So if you sample the rock, then you have the G value of 45, which is basically the trade-off between having both the soil and the rock. And the total cost of the action leading from the initial state to that state. So in this case, the total utility is 110, and the total cost of 1, 2, and 3 actions about 65. So that's why you get the G value of 45. And because 45 is better than 25, you also output this plan as the next best plan. So first you output this plan of sample soil, and then as you go deeper in the tree, you output another plan, say sample soil, and then move to beta, and then sample rock. And in this case, the H value is 0, so basically you can stop right there, because the heuristic function tells you that there's no point of expanding this node. But if you actually did, then you can compute again, and actually both of them node will give you less utility than this is the best solution. So the planner will stop right there. So in the oversubscription planning that we described so far, all the goals have been non-dependent goals. Like they are independent of each other in the sense that if you achieve one goal and achieve another goal, then the total utility of achieving both of them would be the summation of the utility that you will achieve individually. But in many domains, that's not the case. So here's a couple of examples. For example, if you have the socks and you have the shoes, then if you get them separately, then it will give you utility about 20 or 50. But because they complement each other very well, if you achieve both of them together, the total utility for you would be much higher than the utility of having them separately. So in this case, if you have both of them, your utility can be 300, which is much higher than 20 and 50. And here's another reverse example. I mean, you have one car, it costs you 15,000, but you use it for everything. Actually, like, you is overloaded with a lot of things, so it's very useful. You have a higher utility value, but if you decide to buy another car, then it costs you much more, but the utility doesn't increase that much, because both of the cars will be underutilized. And then here's the case for utility conditional dependency. So if you already booked the ticket, then the utility of having a hotel in Vancouver, for example, is very high, like 1,000. But if you don't have a ticket of flying to Vancouver, then the utility is basically zero. Utility of having a hotel, because I mean, what's the use of if you cannot even get there? So in this case, the utility of having the hotel reserved at certain location depend on whether or not you achieve another goal, which basically, were you able to reserve the flight or not? So in case that you have a lot of dependency between the goal, then the first question is how to model them. We use the framework called general additive model to model the dependency between the goals. So if you have the set of goals, then you specify the total utility, additional utility you will get by achieving them together. So in this case, the utility of having both of them will be the summation of utility you achieve each of them plus the additional utility that you will get by achieving them together. So this case will be 20 plus 50 plus 230, 300. And So the first way to handle this problem is to extend the integer linear programming encoding to capture the utility dependency that we represented here. So what we need to do is to add the constraint to ensure that if the set of goal is achieved, then so first of all we introduce a new binary variable for each related goal set. So in this case, if you have the shop and the shoe, then you introduce one variable to represent the fact that you may achieve both of them together. And then we add the constraint to ensure that if that variable is satisfied, which is set to value 1 in the integer linear programming encoding, then for every goal in the set, they should also be achieved. And then we modify the objective function in the integer programming encoding to capture the goal utility dependency. So you expand from the summation of the total utility for each goal to include the summations of total utility of each goal and the dependency between them. And if you do that in the integer linear programming, then basically the IP solver will return you an optimal solution. We also expand the SABA-PF line of work of heuristics search framework, which is basically this one, searching down the tree and trying to find better and better quality plans to handle the dependency between the goals. So you also from the init state, you expand it, you resist, you generate new state, and whenever you see the new state give you a higher utility, then you will output that plan and keep expand until the heuristics tell you that there's no beneficial of expanding it anymore. And the critical thing that we need to expand the node evaluation function, basically the G and the H value, to take into account all the dependency that you specify by the local function of dependency. And to here's the three main steps in which we use to come up with the heuristic function of estimating how much utility you achieve, you can achieve given the dependencies that you have. First, you try to estimate the lowest cost of the relaxed plan that achieve all the remaining goals. And then you try to build the cost dependency that Brown mentions between all the goals inside the relaxed plan that you achieve for all the remaining goals. And then you try to find the optimal relaxed plan within that plan that achieve all the goals using the IP encoding. So if you find the optimal relaxed plan, it may remove some certain goal in the set or some certain action in the set, and then you use the final solution of that optimal relaxed plan as the heuristic to guide this search planner how it explores different parts of the search tree and what is the next solution that it can find. And in ICAS this year, we Benton and Mankes has a paper that improved over that approach in which they try a new planning relaxation, and they actually find an optimal relaxed plan that can give you an admissible heuristic. So for SPOT, the heuristic that we have so far is not admissible. So the final solution it finds is good quality, but doesn't guarantee optimal. So the work that in ICAP this year actually find admissible heuristic and find you optimal optimal solutions. So what we do is combine the LP relaxation and with the planning graph. So first you relax on the IP constraint. So instead of saying that all the variables should be 0 and 1, you set them to have any value between 0. Either 0 and 1 to between 0 and 1. And then you try to solve the LP relaxation. And then you try to fix all the actions and go return by the LP solutions. If it has some value beyond certain threshold, for example, if you set the threshold to 0.7, then any action that returned by the LP saying that the value is 0.8, 0.9, we say that should be in the final plan. And then you try to extract the relaxed plan using the guidance in the second step, and that one can guarantee at least proof in the paper that it's optimal and can admissible and can give you an optimal solution. So the OSP model so far has been quantitative preference over the goal that you will achieve at the end of the plan. And Bonnet and Gardner has expanded that representation for a quantitative preference over the plan trajectory. So in this case, what they do is you have the cost the same thing. It's the same way in OSP. You have the cost for each action, but you also have the thing called cost associated with each fact. So in OSP, then you will have utility associated with the goal in this case, like have soil at alpha, have rock at beta, have image at gamma. But in this case, you have the cost value for every fact. So not only have rock, have soil, have image, have some utility value then, but you also have cost value for everything else. Like being at certain location also have cost, like at beta will give you some cost. And depending if the cost is positive, then that one is reward. Like if you achieve that thing, it gives you some reward, so it's like the goal. And if the cost is negative, then it basically represents the penalty. So if you meet that certain fact during the plan trajectory, then you will get some penalty for that. And the plan quantity is defined by the summation of the cost. You try to minimize that. The summation of all the cost of the action in the plan, and the total cost of all the facts that you will achieve along the way of executing the plan. They use the same search algorithm as RPAPS, but with different heuristic function. So you have to change the G value and the H value. So the G value is the cost reward trade-off for all the goals that you achieve and all the action that you have so far in the plan. Here is the cost reward trade-off of all the facts that you have visited by the plan. And the H value is the same thing, the cost reward trade-off of all the facts that you may achieve in the future. And for the relaxation, then either you can use the optimal relaxed plan, which is basically the plan with the highest trade-off if you don't have negative effect of the action. So for example, if you move from alpha to beta, then the negative effect is the rover will not be at alpha anymore. But if you remove all the negative effects, then they prove that the optimal relaxed plan is admissible. But if you have conditional effect in the action specification, then that one is thought to be not admissible anymore. And they propose a different approach of converting the problem into DNNF theory, and propose several way of encoding so that you can get admissible heuristics from there. So in admissible, I mean that it will give you a proven optimistic estimation. So the remaining plan, if it can, if you know everything, then it can achieve like $50, then the heuristic should return some value higher than 50. And that value is admissible, like 60. But if you return 40, then it's not admissible because it's pessimistic. And lastly, in PDL3, which has been used for the last international planning competition in 2006. For the little background, then PDL is a planning domain description language. Basically, the standard planning language that they have been using in the planning competition. And in PDL3, then they have extended PDL2.2 with goal and trajectory preference. In summary, so they have constraint over the entire plan trajectories instead of the final goal state reach. They use a subset of temporal logic operators. Like for example, you always want some certain things during the execution of the plan. At some time during the plan, you want to achieve some certain things, at most one, or at n. At n is basically equal to the classical goal in which you achieve something at the end of the execution of the plan. And sometime before, sometime after. So they don't use the full temporal logic set, but I think close to the full set of the temporal logic. And they don't have preference for action occurrence. So in OSP, you have a cost associated with action, right? But in PDL3, then you don't have cost associated with action occurrence in the plan. But they do allow the preference over action preconditions. So you say that one certain action has two preconditions. For example, if you want to sample soil, then the two conditions is the soil is available, and you need to be at that location. And you can say one of them is a soft constraint and another is hard constraint. For example, you need to be at that location is a hard constraint, but the soil is available is a soft constraint. And you can have the cost of violating that soft constraint. So if you sample the soil, but you don't have soil available, then you can have the cost associated with executing that action. So then you don't have the action cost, but you actually can use a dummy precondition to encode action cost in USB. So you can set up one dummy precondition that can never satisfy, and set up the cost of violating that, not satisfy that dummy condition to be the cost of the action in the over subscription planning model that we have so far. And they don't allow next operator, which is basically allowed in the PP preference language that I present in the qualitative preference model part. And the syntax is you have the constraint and for the goal description. So the goal next question can be the final goal of achievement or any constraint on the plan, and that can be combined in the goal description, which basically exists in all the PDL language before 3.0. And you can use the PDL preference to model the hard and soft constraint. For example, you have the goal of achieving having soil at the end of the plan. If you want to make it the hard constraint, then you can just say that goal achieve soil. If you want to make it the soft constraint, you say preference and the goal name, like have soil, and then say the goal description. So by putting the preference keyword and the name of the preference, then you can make one hard constraint become the soft constraint. And you can use them to model the goal, the constraint on the plan trajectory, and action precondition preference. And then, for example, here you can say preference have soil, and you have soil at the end. And here's another preference, visiting anchor. You say that for every rover, then you prefer that that rover be at anchor at certain point. And the plan quality defined by the keyword metric. You try to minimize the combination of plan time make span, five times the number of this preference has been violated. So the number of time that you don't satisfy this one, then you multiply by five, and number of time that the other one is violated. So you can combine different quality and the cost associated with different preferences into one single objective function at the end. So if you look at the evolutions of the way quantitative preference have been used in planning, then you can start with strict planning in which all the goals are hard constraints, and then you expand it with over-subscription planning in which you have a soft goal with utility and action cost. And then further, you can expand it with the preference over the plan trajectories by expand from the goal condition from at end condition to sometime during the execution condition, and make all of them be soft constraint. And then at the end, you have PDL 3.0 basically cover everything within, and it encode most of the temporal logic plan on plan trajectories. And it can also use for model the implicit action cost. And the other way that you can look at PDL 3.0 is basically the quantitative versions of the qualitative preference model in PP. So in qualitative preference, I want to remind that we introduced the preference language PP, in which it also can specify the preference order over the plan trajectories using a different temporal logic, and if you slap the actual quantitative value over all the preference, then you can basically have PDL 3.0. So here's a couple more examples in which you can specify hard constraint in combination with soft constraint. So have soil, you don't have the preference keyword before that, so it's a hard constraint, and if you have a preference keyword, it's a soft constraint. And then action precondition conditions, though you can have two conditions of the action here. You need to, the rover need to be at anchor, and the soil is available. So this precondition is a hard constraint, and this precondition of the action is a soft constraint. And the constraint over the whole plan execution, and then plan quality. Basically, you combine the violation cost of different preferences into one single objective function. So there's, I think, about five or six planners in the last competition have tried to solve the preference, the planning with preference in the PDL 3.0. And most of them have followed the approach of simplification or try to convert from the preference in PDL 3.0 into the more simplified preference model. For example, like OSP or goal preference or simple preference. And then also a couple approach of converting the whole planning problem with PDL 3.0 preference into the set encoding or into the linear programming encoding. And I think the heuristic approach is the most promising approach for PDL before 3.0, but there's not been a planner that the heuristic planner that tackles those preference directly. Most of them have been converting down to OSP and then try to use the basic planner for PDL 2.2 and before that to solve the final problem. But if you want to expand the heuristics planner, then basically there are two things that you need to do. First is you need to expand the plan validation routine. You have to check for the hard constraint on plan trajectories. So before PDL 3.0, then the plan is valid if all the goals achieved at the end of the plan. Now you have to check for all the constraints over the plan execution also. And then another thing that you need to do is to have you have to adjust the heuristic estimate before you just try to minimize the number of actions total cost. But now you have to account for how many times each preference is violated and estimate the total cost of violation. So the first approach that tries to first simplify the preference in PDL 3.0 to simpler one in over subscription planning and doing heuristic search for them is a Yuchan PS planner, which is an extension of the SAP PS planner that is for OSP. So what you do is, if you have the goal preference with violation cost in PDL 3.0, like if you have the goal the constraint G and the violation cost of G, if you don't achieve G, then you can introduce a new action called preference G, and it has a precondition of G, and it counts one dummy goal G dash G prime, and you set the utility of G prime to the cost of the goal in PDL 3.0. So it means that if you do not achieve G prime, then you lose a utility amount equal to the cost of goal violations. And for action precondition preference, then, for example, if you have action A with two preconditions P and Q, and both of them are self-constrained, then what you can do is convert from one action A into four different action A. The first action A, in which you can execute, but you do not satisfy any of the soft preconditions. And action 1, in which you satisfy one of them, A2 is the same, A3, in which you satisfy both of them. And the cost of different action, depending on which of the soft constraint, the violation cost, which of the soft constraint that you do not satisfy. And then whenever you try to expand the plan and apply an action, then among all the actions that you can apply in that given state, then you only select the one with the least cost. And then if you do so, then basically the problem is converted from preference in PDL 3.0, simple preference, not everything, into the oversubscription planning problem, which have more work on that, and you can use any of the OSP planners to solve this particular PDL 3.0 problem. Yeah, I think I'm going a little late. So I will skip over the last couple of slides, and most of them present different approach of simplifying the PDL 3.0 into a simple class of preference, and you can use that here. And then you can use the planner like forward state space or SAT or IMP planner to solve the problem. So the summary is, like, in planning you can there are many ways to model the preference. You can use qualitative preference or quantitative preference. And normally if you have quantitative preference, you can convert back into qualitative, but not vice versa. But for HDD, depending on the domain and the user of the planner, one model may be more preferred than the other. And depending on how easy that you can get or elicit the preference from the user, for some domain, like if you want to sell the car for the user, which only can say if he prefers something over the other, but not exactly how much he prefers one over the other, then qualitative preference is more suitable model. But in a lot of business domain in which the decision depending on the quantitative advantage of one over the other, then you better choose the quantitative preference model. And then depending on the model, you can use different planning approach like heuristic search or integer linear programming. And some approach can give you optimal solution, and some approach can give you some not optimal but gradually better and better quality solution if you get given more time to the planner. Can you switch back to scheduling? So while I'm resetting this up, I think you can listen.
There was a question during the break about the data set that I presented.